looking at this morning. Hebrews 12, and we're going to read just the first two verses of that chapter. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that we do have, Lord, and we just pray you would help us to understand there is a race for us to run, and that we would look unto you for that help, Lord. Just pray you bless, just open up your word to our understanding this morning, Lord, and help us to put it into practice, Lord. Just bless each of your people here this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. And we see the beginning of verse 1 there, where it speaks of this great cloud of witness that we are compassed about with. And of course, it refers back to what was spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11, these men and women of faith. We see kind of summing up different things that they achieved, different things they endured. Verse 33 of that chapter, it says, "Of these who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." And we think of all of these, all that they did, these men and women of faith. Some had great victories, some went through great trials and great persecutions, but yet they stayed faithful. And they are as a cloud of witnesses accompanying us. And in this we recognize that as believers, as individuals, that we are part of something much greater than ourselves. This is a long line that stretches through history of men and women of faith, that even from the time that the Bible is written, that there is continued men and women of faith down through the ages, despite persecutions, that they have kept their faith and been defenders and purveyors of the faith. And we think of it, just the thought that we have a Bible in our own language is because people were willing to risk their lives to do so. At one point, that as a parent, if you were to teach the Lord's Prayer to your child in English, that you would be taken to prison and your children would be given to someone else. And it was a dangerous time, but yet there was people that fought that it would happen. We think specifically of William Tyndale, of how he worked to get the Bible translated into English, and he was a wanted man, a fugitive, but yet he pressed on, and he ended up giving his life at the end. And when he was martyred, he said, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes that he may see." And within a few short years, we find that the king actually authorized the printing of the Bible in English, that used much of the work that William Tyndale had done. And so we recognize those that have come before us. We think personally of when we first trusted in Christ, when the gospel message of salvation came to us, the person that we received it from, the person that shared it with us. It might have been one person, it might have been several people. But we think, well, how did it get to them? And if we really try to think of it and imagine it, we recognize how great many the links in the chain are, and how long it extends back into the past of these ones who have been faithful, who have been willing to lay down their lives for the faith, so that we would have the truth, so that we could have be able to come to the knowledge of the Lord through the gospel as well. And so we see that they are a great cloud of witnesses, and this cloud has grown ever greater since Hebrews was written. And with these people, this cloud of witnesses, we recognize that they are an encouragement to us. We see those who struggled, who made it through great and difficult things, that it can give us strength, that we realize that God was with them, God did not abandon them. We see their faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to them. That we would think of them, and we think in Hebrews chapter 11, we would refer to these people as giants of the faith. But we recognize that they didn't have some different kind of chromosome. They weren't some different kind of being or superhuman. They were just like you or I. That speaks of Elijah, of how he was a man of like passions as you and I. And so it's the thought of that, that they were people and that they looked to the Lord. They are people of faith, and they can be an encouragement to us. They also are an example to us. We think different things. Specifically, some of the ones in Hebrews 11, we can pick out and look at that illustrate this. For one, Abraham, in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. That he had kind of stability, he had everything that he knew, that God said, I want you to turn your back on it, I want you to go to a place you've never been before. And he didn't even know where it was, he didn't know what it was going to be like. He had nothing to cling to except the word of the Lord that he promised he would bless him, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And it's that thought that we have, that the faith that he had to obey, that we want to have that faith to obey as well, even though we don't necessarily know the end from the beginning, we don't know how it's all going to work out. We want to be able to have that faith to obey the Lord and allow him to work out the details. We think of Moses, of how by faith that he made the decision, verse 24, when he was come to years, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That we see with Moses, that by faith that he gave up all that the world had to offer, that it gives a sense that he could have been royalty, perhaps he could have even been a pharaoh, but yet he did not want any of that. He chose to be with God's people. He was willing to give up what the world offered to embrace what God had in store for him. And so we can learn from him that he is an example that we can follow. We think even of Gideon, of how he is listed as a man of faith, and we read about him and we see that he seems not at all to be a man of faith, that God tells him, well, I'm going to use you to deliver the people from the Midianites. He calls him the mighty man of valor, and he says, well, who am I? And he just kind of felt that he was a big chicken. He didn't think that he could do that. And God would assure him. He says, well, I'm not sure. I'm going to put out a fleece. And so he did that. And he wanted the fleece, I believe, was to start with, that it would be wet and the ground around it would be dry. And it happened. And you think that would be enough. But he said, well, no, I'm going to do it again. This time it's going to be the opposite way. And it was. But yet it calls him a man of faith. And it's something that we realize, that our faith seems small sometimes. We don't feel like we have much faith at all, but we recognize God can strengthen our faith. God can help us grow in our faith. And as we learn to put our trust in Him, that He can do great things in our lives. And so we see that this cloud of witnesses is an example to us. It's an encouragement. And they're also a challenge to us, because we think, well, if they have done it, that we need to step up in our generation. That if they went through these great things to be faithful so that the truth would get to us, that we want to be honoring to them and keep the faith in that sense. We want to be men or women of faith, that we recognize we are part of something greater than ourselves. We don't want it to be waning. We don't want the light to diminish. And it's that thought at the end of our life that we would want to have that sense of joining that great cloud of witnesses, that others could look back in our lives, whether it's our children or others that know us, that they could see that we were people of faith. And so we think of that, and we recognize that we want to please the Lord. We want Him to say, well done unto us. And we realize that it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we want to have that faith. We want it not to be full of doubt and worry. We want to have a faith that is translated into action, that we step forward, that God is calling us to something greater than ourselves, and we would accomplish what the Lord would have us to do in His power. And so we see that because we have this great cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's a preparation involved, a removal of encumbrances, things that weigh us down, things that hold us back. And the reason for that is because as believers we have a race to run. That it is not, we never get the sense in our Christian life that we are to remain in one place, where we are, as we are. That God has created us, or God has given us a new body, He has saved us from sin, and we are to grow in grace. We are to be maturing. We are to be perfecting. Our lives are to be ever upward as we become more and more like Christ. And so our lives as believers are a journey, a pursuit with a destination that is ever before our eyes. It is a contest in many ways, but is not one that we compete against each other. In a sense, really, we're actually part of a team, that we want to make sure that we all cross the finish line together, that we help one another. I remember growing up, of course, every year there's the Calgary Stampede, and they'd always broadcast it on TV. And the thing I always liked to watch was the chuck wagon races, and especially after it rained, because it was always so muddy and everyone was all covered in mud. But the whole idea of it was that in order for them to really win, they had to be fast, but they had to make sure that the whole team crossed together, that if one was way back, that they'd get penalized. And it's kind of that thought as Christians, that we want to help one another in that sense, that we're all in this together and we want to help each other on our way. And so it's not a contest against each other, but we recognize that it is a contest against fearsome opposition, which will do everything in its power to divert us from our goal, destroy us, so we will not ever run the race and reach the goal that is laid out for us by our Heavenly Father. And we see that the devil seeks to devour, he seeks to deceive, he seeks to turn us away from our true purpose. He puts up many detours for us, hoping that we'll follow them. He distracts us and weighs us down with the cares of this world, with the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. And we recognize as well, so often in our race that we run, our worst enemy is ourselves. That we don't get our thinking right, we get focused on ourselves, we lose our focus on the bigger picture of what Lord has for us, of what's truly important. And often we get focused on what I want to do rather than seeking what does God want me to do. And so we must recognize that there is a race to be run. And for us to run that race, there must be a preparation. And this kind of illustration of comparing the Christian life to a race is spoken of in many different places in the Scriptures. And it was something that in that culture of the time that they would all be familiar with it. The original Olympics continued on. They began in the years before Christ, but they continued on until 393 AD, and so they would have been familiar with them. And in around Corinth, they actually had the Isthmian Games, which were sort of the second popularity to the Olympics. And you could kind of consider the Isthmian would be similar to the Commonwealth Games that we have today. And so it was something that people were familiar with. And so we see that Paul and others use it as an illustration in several different places. And we see that, this idea of laying aside every weight so we might run with patience a race that is set before us. Anything that encumbers, anything that holds us back, we seek to get rid of. And we see that today even in competition. Runners that we have only have as much on as necessary, that they don't run in a suit or in a big bulky coat or anything like that, because it's going to slow them down. And we actually understand in the original Olympics that they didn't wear any clothes when they competed, because it was they were wanting to make sure there was no encumbrances. And so we think of that we want to make sure as believers that there would be nothing that would prevent us from running the race as well as we could, that we would set these things aside. We see also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 25, it says, every man that striveth for the mastery, and the mastery is striving in a race, is temperate in all things. Temperate is the idea of being self-controlled. And they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That it's a thought that if your person that is running a race, that they bring their body under control, they are disciplined. What they eat, it's even today that I think they understand it better than they used to, but I know I know of one fellow that he has a couple of players for the one team that billet with him, and they always, before a game, they have different things that they eat, carb loading or whatever it is, just to prepare themselves for that. And so that there's a temperance, that there's things that a person will eat and not eat. They're not going to eat too much because it will slow them down. They're not going to indulge in different things. There was a denial of self because they were focused on the race. They knew that once they were done the race and they won, that they could have more of those other things, but they recognized in preparation for the race that they needed to be under control. And we see that as it speaks in Hebrews 12 about the sin that does so easily beset us, these weaknesses, these troubles that bog us down, that we want to be able to lay that aside. We see in Romans 7, verse 23, Paul speaks, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And from my understanding, the picture of it was sometimes in Roman law that if someone was guilty of certain crimes, that they would actually shackle that person to a corpse and have them drag around the corpse. And that it would basically, they'd have to do that until it fell off or they died from disease as well. And it's kind of that thought of the sin nature that it tends to shackle us. And just imagine trying to run a race with that, trying to drag something like that. And so that's a thought that we want to set it aside, lay it aside, that sin which thus so easily besetteth. And we lay it aside by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there may be many things. For each of us, it's probably a different thing. For some of us, it might be worry. Some of us, it might be lust. Some it might be many other different things, but we recognize that this is something that if we're going to run this race, we have to set it aside. We must bring our bodies under control. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so we learn a temperance. We learn to bring our body under subjection, that we get our sin nature under control by the power of our Holy Spirit and not let it control us, that we put it to death, lest it would destroy us and that it would disqualify us from the race. We see in 2 Timothy verse 2, verse 5, it speaks that if a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And so that if we're to run this race, it has to be in accordance to the rules that the one who has set the course and called us to the race is established, that we live according to the Scriptures, that we see again and again in recent history with different athletic events that there's always different testing for doping and for steroids, that in our own history as a nation that we had a fellow that won in the Seoul Olympics and he had the fastest time yet, but then his medal was stripped from him because he had used steroids. And so we recognize that principle. And how, what a shame it is to go to the end, to run all that way, and then be disqualified. I remember growing up watching Gizmo Williams. He was a punt returner for the Eskimos, and it was something with him. He had all the records, and one of the records was he had more punt returns called back because of penalties than anybody else had actually scored. And it was something to see, especially as he got kind of near the end of his career, because it was hard work for him to run all that way and then to find out that it didn't count. You could just see the disappointment on his face. And that's the way that we want to, if we're striving for the masteries, we're running this race, we want to do it lawfully. We want to do it according to the Scriptures, that we want to make sure that we're doing it the way that we ought to. And so we have this race to run. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 it says, they that are in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And we want to obtain the goal. We want to reach that finish line that the Lord has set out for us. It speaks of how in that time that they did it for a corruptible crown, and it was very much so, because in the original Olympics they didn't get medals of gold and silver and bronze, they just gave them a laurel wreath that they would wear, and of course within a few days it would just wilt and crumple, and it wouldn't be really worth anything. But we recognize that we strive for an incorruptible crown. And so we are to run the race that is set before us with patience. We run not because we are being pursued, because we are in the pursuit of something, that there is a goal for us, something for us to be striving for, something that we are to keep our eyes on the finish line throughout. We see Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. This is Paul speaking again. It says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That he recognized that he wanted to have Christ-likeness be the characteristic of his life, and have a closeness with him as well, that we learned this morning in 1 John chapter 3 of the thought that we are going to be like him one day. And so because we have that hope within us, we purify ourselves even as he is pure. And we see with Paul, as it continues in Philippians 3, he said that I would be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we have a high calling, that we are to press toward the mark. Verse 12 speaks that we may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That God got a hold of us so that we might get a hold of him. That we are to pursue after him, that is our destination. And we see in Hebrews 12, verse 1, how it says that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. That we recognize the Christian life, that it is not a sprint, it is a marathon. That it will take us time. And that's we recognize that we can go for a time in our own strength, but at a certain point we're going to run out of energy. That we can give an effort in the flesh, but then run out of breath. And that is why we need the Spirit to sustain us. The Spirit, as we seek His power by faith and wait upon Him, that we would be strengthened. We see in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we run with patience the race that is set before us, that we keep going, that we do not become weary in well-doing, we keep our eyes on the prize, on the finish line, that we would run this race that is set before us, this path that is to be trod. And we recognize with each of us that our race for each of us might be a little bit different than those around us. But we recognize as well that there is no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. We may have different races because we have different starting points. We may have different things that we have to come through, but we recognize that our destination is the same, to be made in the image of Christ, to be a testimony and a witness for Him, and shine as lights in this dark world. And so we see as we do this, as we are to run this race, we see finally in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we recognize that our focus needs to be on Him. That if we are to grow in our faith, that He is the author of our faith, that He is the one in whom we have trusted, and He wants to help us grow in our faith, that He's going to finish our faith, that He which hath begun a work, good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, as we run this race, that we are to look unto Jesus, we see that He is our greatest example, that we can know that all that He did upon this earth while He was here was an example that we could follow in His steps, that He laid down, that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so He is the example to follow, that we run as He did, that we pattern ourselves after Him in all that we do. We recognize as well that we look unto Jesus because He is the source of our strength, that we know that having suffered being tempted, He is able also to succor them that are tempted, to run to our aid. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. That He's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we've been through. And so because of who He is, because of what He has done as our high priest, that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we look unto Jesus as our example, as our strength to run the race. We look at Him as well as our destination, our goal, our finish line, that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we purify ourselves even as He is pure, because we have that hope within us. And we recognize He's our high priest, that He's cheering us on, and that and in a way that He's waiting for us on the other side to congratulate us when we cross the finish line. And so, as we live the Christian life, we realize we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. Sometimes a race might be shorter than we think, but we want to be faithful. We want to run with patience and temperance and determination. We want to be empowered by God, seeking His strength, seeking His wisdom, that we would do this faithfully, so that we would hear Him say, "Well done," that we would join this great cloud of witnesses as ones who have been faithful, and that we can say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." So may the Lord help us, that we would finish our course with joy, that we would be faithful through His power and through His strength. In Jesus' name. Right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for all You have done for us, Lord. We thank You for what Jesus accomplished on the cross, the example He set for us, the eternal redemption He secured for us, and the power that we have through the cross, Lord, and through the resurrection. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to not get distracted, not get detoured, but that we would run this race faithfully, Lord, as others have before us. Just strengthen our faith, help our unbelief, just that we might bring honor to You, Lord, that You would be pleased with us, that we would do what You would have us to do, and that we would finish our course with joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 216. Look to the Lamb of God, hymn 216.